Yes.
It's coffee time. Coffee. Cappuccino. Java. Yes.
It's about time for the coffee break, so welcome to everybody from myself, Aaliyah, and from Yosef, and a very, very warm welcome to you. We pray that you are having a blessed weekend, that you have had a blessed weekend and a good Shabbat, and a good start of the new month, the new biblical month of Av, and that's quite exciting. Although it is a month generally that we know in Scripture that many bad things happen in Israel and the time that the temples, both of them, were destroyed. We also know that it's a month called the month of Av, which means father, and it's all about the comfort of the father. And so as we enter into this new month, I really just feel that that's something that we need to think about, how Yahweh is supposed to be close to us and comforting us in everything that we go through. So happy new month to you, and welcome. And we just pray that this coffee break is going to be really good. So Yosef, welcome to you as well, and how are you today?
Thank you, Leah. And that's so awesome what you just shared, I think, with us, that it's the month of the Father. And I pray that for each one of us, I pray that we will really know the Father's heart through this month, and that His will and that His love will unfold for us in a way that we haven't experienced before in our walk. And I'm excited. We weren't on air last week. We were very busy. I think that things are getting very busy for us. So we ask that you continue just to pray for us as we continue to pray for you. But I'm excited that we are on air again this evening, and I pray that as we share around Yahweh's word this evening, that it will just be from His heart, and that it will just be plain and put out there as we feel led by His Ruach. And that's what the coffee break's about. The coffee break's about us just as a family coming together and fellowshipping. It's about us sharing about His Ruach, allowing His Ruach to move. And that's something that I really want to say again this evening. Let us create a space where we come each week where His Ruach can move. Let us not try and suffocate or you know, try and jump over each other with things that we want to say or do. You know, it's good to comment. It's good to, you know, give our opinions. But let us allow His Ruach to really minister to us. And sometimes, in order for that to happen, we need to just listen. So it's good to listen. It's good to receive. It's good to allow His word and His spirit just to guide us and to lead us. And that's our heart. That's what the heart has been of Treasured Inheritance Ministry all along. And not only with the ministry, but also with this coffee break. It's a time where we come together, where we hear the word, but where we also receive, where we pray for one another. And I want to challenge you. You know, that's something that I've also begin to notice. You know, we pray and we come with our requests, but let us come with things like thanksgiving and honor and praise, and let us give to Yahweh what is due to His name, because that's what this coffee break's about. It's about experiencing His Ruach, but also coming with a heart of gratitude and leaving this place changed. And that's what it's about, and that's what my prayer is for this coffee break for each one of you. So I'm going to ask Aaliyah if she would please pray for us this evening, and then let us get into what we want to talk about this evening.
Father, we just thank You so much this evening that You are the comforting Father. And as we enter into this new month with You, Father, I really pray that it will be a time where You draw close to our hearts, Father, to every place that needs amending, Father, every place that needs a help from the brokenness, Father, that we sometimes encounter or feel in our hearts. And I pray for revival and for newness, Father, renewal. And Father, we know that in the history of Israel, Father, that this was a very hard month. Father, it was a month of a lot of grief, Father, and a month where we read the book of Lamentations, Father, and we can take that into our own lives and grieve for the things that are, Father, and the things that were. And Father, it's also a month where You come with comfort and with joy. And Father, I pray for a restoration of joy and comfort, Father, for all the places in our hearts that have been hard to deal with, Father, over this last few months. And we thank You for that, and I pray Your blessing over all of us in this coffee break as we just join together. We thank You, Father, and we praise You in Yeshua HaMashiach's name. Amen.
Amen. So I know, Leah, that this evening, you know, we want to speak about something that I think is very important. You know, I was reading the Torah portion this week, and a couple of weeks ago, we jumped a little bit ahead, you remember, with the Torah portion, and we were speaking about, you know, when we enter into the land, and we were speaking about the death of Moshe and Aaron, and we were talking about the fact that Israel had to go in and possess the land. But in order for them to do that, they had to, you know, they had to fight against those inhabitants that were in the land. And this week's Torah portion is talking about all those things, you know, when they go in to possess the land, when they take possession of their inheritance. And I really, you know, sat and I thought about it, how, you know, throughout their history, we know that they should have gone into that land quickly, but it took them a while. It took them 40 years where they were wandering in the wilderness. But in all of that time that they were, you know, in the wilderness, one thing that continues to to be read throughout the Torah portions, or not only the Torah portion, but throughout the book of Exodus, even, you know, through the life of the Israelites, is one thing, one phrase that I always pick up. And it's like that phrase that says, "Why did you bring us to this place? We just want to return and go back to Egypt." You know, so many times they wanted to just give up. They wanted to return back. And we spoke in one of the coffee breaks, and we said, you know, how Rav Shul, he urges his generation and the generations to come in what he wrote. He said, you know, let us not forget the things that the Israelites endured, the things that the Israelites went through in the wilderness, so that this generation, his generation, our generation, and the generations to come before Yeshua returns will endure and not return back to the old ways, back to, you know, the things that entice us. And one of those words is nostalgia, back to the way where we think, hey, you know what, I don't have a purpose, I don't have a life, so why am I even here in this place where I feel like everything's a mess? Let me just rather go back to Egypt. And that really spoke to me this week, that Israel, you know, even though they were in the wilderness, so many times they get it right, and then so many times they get it wrong. And there was this constant up and down. And I think this week, you know, the scripture that we want to look at speaks to us about the same thing, about endurance, about running the race that is set before us. And they had to run the race that was set before them. And even though they could have got there quickly, Yahweh said, hey, you know what, I'm not going to take you the quick way. I'm going to teach you a few things along the way. I'm going to take some things out of you so that you can be a better people. I'm going to remove some stubbornness, some rebelliousness, some real issues that you have in your hearts and in your lives. And we know that they camped in many different places, and all those different camps that they camped at meant different things. And they went through different trials, and they went through different testings. You know, Yahweh tested them so that they would be a people of endurance. And it really speaks to me, Leah, because we talk so often about being overcomers. We talk so often about being people that overcome. And what does that actually mean, to be an overcomer? And the one thing that really speaks to me about being an overcomer is endurance. Mm-hmm. If we are not willing to endure the things that we face, the times that we go through, or the people that hammer against us, or the times of loneliness, despair, the times of you know, where various, like James says, he says in James chapter 1, verse 2 and 4, he says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." And I like that scripture because he talks about perfection, but he also talks about our faith. And that's something I think that Yahweh was trying to cause Israel to be a people of faith, but also people of endurance. And if we are going to be people that overcome, or overcomers, then we need to be people that endure. And I want you to just read that scripture to us, Aaliyah, that we were speaking about last night. You know, my wife and I, we have these times where we've said it so often on the coffee break, we have these two new kittens. So, you know, sometimes it's crazy because we the kind of people, we'll go off and she'll sit by her computer and I'll sit by mine, and we'll be reading the word, or we'll be, you know, having our quiet times or whatever. And we can sit like that for hours. But now, since we've had these two kittens, it doesn't always work in the way that we want. Sometimes we want to stun in, even do the coffee break, and they'll be all over the place. But, you know,
it's like having children.
It's like enduring.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm just saying that because sometimes, man, it gets crazy, and we're not able to focus sometimes with them. Mm. But so last night, we were sitting, and luckily they were sleeping, and we were just having a chat.
And that was 11 o'clock till 1 a.m.
O'clock till 1 a.m.
And we were talking about, you know, this whole idea, or this not whole idea, but this whole thought of enduring. And I'd like you just to share that passage of scripture.
Yeah, the passage of scripture that we were referring to is Hebrews 12 and verse 1 to 2. And I'm going to read it to you from the modern English version of the Bible, which says, "Therefore, since we are encompassed and surrounded with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let us look unto Yeshua, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God."
Wow.
And you know, I just looked at that when I saw, like, it says that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross.
Mm.
That seems like a crazy thing to me, because it's like he we know of, you know, I always say this, that hindsight is what we have. So we, that's why history is so great for me. I recently someone said, well, what about the present? You know, why can't we find role models, for example, in our present that are great? But my whole thing is that history is better because we know the whole story.
That's right.
It's hard not to know the whole story. I find that hard. And, you know, when we look at history or even the Bible, we know the full story. So, you know, with Yeshua, you know, we know that he endured the cross, he resurrected, we know the full story. But when he was standing there, I don't think it felt like that.
Mm.
It must have felt very hard, because yes, joy was still coming. And I think that's the same for us, Yosef, when we all go through hard times. I don't have the answer for that. I don't know how to get through hard times with joy in order to endure the cross to get to the joy on the other side. Because I think that because of where we sit as people, we can't see what's coming. We can't see the joy after our own pit, or after our own prison, or after our own loss or grief or pain or mourning or job loss or cancer diagnosis or death of a loved one, or, you know, a deep loss in our lives. How do we can't see what's coming. We only have our present reality. And so it's incredible to me. And, you know, we can spiritualize and be like, ah, yes, but Yeshua went to the cross and da, 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 da. No, Yeshua was a human being just like us. He was stood. That's why he sweated blood and tears in the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed and said, Yahweh, that if it is your will, please let this pass from me.
That's right.
But not my will, your will be done. So Yeshua himself still said, please, Yahweh, if you can, Father, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, your will be done. And that was the ultimate will of the Father, for him to go to death like this on the cross. And there came joy. And I think that for me, you know, looking at this and saying we got to run the race with endurance, it is also about the hard times. And we as believers, you know, there's a lot of people that turn around to believers and say, well, you just believe in God because he's like a crutch. Well, anybody that says that hasn't actually served Yahweh ever, because your hardest times, for me definitely in my life, have come through by being a believer. Because the life is not, Yeshua didn't say, I've come to give you an easy life. He never said that.
Mm-hmm.
He said that on this earth you will have what, trial? You will have tribulation. You will have hard times. But take courage, I have overcome the world. So it's it's our cross will be turned into a place of joy. Whereas if you're in the world and you're unsaved, your cross just turns into hell, basically, because you have no hope.
That's right.
And so we know that our pain and our prisons and our failures, our mistakes, our sin, even our crosses that we have to bear, you know, can be turned into a place of redemption and joy. I totally believe that. And we see that with, like it says in Hebrews 12 verse 1, we are encompassed with a great cloud of witnesses. And those great cloud of witnesses to me are the people that went before us, you know, the people that we know about and that we don't know about, because there are a lot of people of faith that went before us that we don't know about. But it does say, Hebrews 11 ends with saying that they will only be perfected with us.
That's right.
So we all get perfected together by running the race with endurance to win the ultimate prize and to win the ultimate goal. And I know that there's a lot that probably can be said about that, but for me, it really does mean that Yeshua has a place for me in the afterlife. It really does mean that when I die, I know that there's so many theological discussions about this, right? Like, do we go to sleep? Do we go to heaven? Do we do this? Yes, everyone is welcome to their own opinion or whatever. But, you know, there is also a scripture where the Father says that He promises us a place with Him for the burdens and the hard times that we've endured upon the earth. And that is a lot of encouragement to continue to run the race with endurance.
You know, Leah, that phrase, I run the race with endurance, it always, you know, it strikes me, because so often as believers, we don't always define the race correctly. I think we struggle as well with defining what the prize actually is, like you said. And sometimes we want to run that race with endurance, but we think that the race is just a 100-meter sprint. And that's not the truth. The truth of the matter is that this race that Rav Shul, or the writer of Hebrews, is speaking about, because Paul, he also speaks about running the race. He says, you know, I want to read this to you. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. So he says in this passage, he says three things. I have fought the good fight. And you know, Jude tells us that we are to fight the good fight. And he says that we are to remember the teachings of the apostles. So what Paul's saying, he's saying, hey, you know what? This is a fight. This is a struggle. This is a thing that you're going to come up against. And that's why in the writer of Hebrews, he also says, you know, this person, the writer says, let's lay down every hindrance, every weight. And that's a fight. That's a struggle, like you were saying. It's a battle sometimes for us to do that. And we got to be real, Elia. I think sometimes as believers, we are not real. And if we, you know, if I am a person who teaches Yahweh's word and we have a ministry and so forth and so on, but if I can be real and say, hey, you know what? I struggle with things sometimes. I go through struggles in my life where I have to endure. Then I look at other people and I say to myself, why is it that I'm struggling sometimes? And they always say, hey, you know what? Everything's good. God is so good. Yahweh is on the throne. But then I think to myself, are you really being real? We need to get to a point where we are real with the things that we go through and say, hey, you know what? I am struggling. And let us pray for one another. Let us stand together, because that great witness that has gone before us, if you understand it in the way that it's been said, these people endured things like slaughterings. They endured, you know, it tells us there that they were sawn in half. And I believe that's speaking to us about Isaiah. You know, that he was put into a tree trunk and he was sawn in half. It talks about some who lost their children and did not give up their faith. Their children were butchered and slaughtered, but yet they didn't give up their faith. And what Paul says in Timothy, he says, I have finished the race. I have run my race. That wasn't a 100-meter sprint. It was a race of endurance my entire life. And then he says something interesting. I've kept the faith. Mm-hmm. You know, that really speaks to me, because we are very quick to say, oh, but you know, I keep the faith. Do we really keep the faith? Are we keeping the faith that Jude was talking about, the faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints? And that's the great witnesses. That great witnesses was a witness of the true faith of Messiah Yeshua, a faith that was alive, a faith that was a witness, a faith that was ready to die for the cause, a faith that went out of Jerusalem and went into the outermost parts of the earth, proclaiming the gospel of Messiah Yeshua. They didn't just sit there in Jerusalem in the upper room and say, hey, you know, we're going to sit there and wait and have our Torah studies week in and week out. No, they said, hey, you know, we have received so freely, because we have received so freely, then we will go and we will proclaim this faith. That's what he's saying. Paul was a person who said to Timothy, you know what, just as I fought the good fight, now it's your turn to endure. It's your turn to carry the gospel. It's your turn to become part of that great collection of witnesses that Hebrews is telling us about. And you know, Lee, I think sometimes that we think that because we keep the Torah, because we do the festivals, because we maybe understand Hebrew, that we have now received, or we are receiving, the prize. But the prize has nothing to do with it. Those things are part of our journey. A good way to put it would be a runner that's running on a track that's with turf. The Torah and the festivals and all those things is the turf and the lane that we are to run in. The Torah is the lane, the white line that separates you from the other runner. That's the Torah. But the goal, the end prize, is that intimate relationship with Yeshua. That's why he says in the end of days, he who overcomes will have a crown of life, and we will inherit him, and he will inherit us. And I think sometimes that's why I said we've defined what the prize is incorrectly because of church theology. Church has said, hey, you know what, get saved and just do this little bit of stuff. And then one day when you die, you will be with me. And you don't have to worry about the endurance part. You don't have to worry about running this race. You don't have to worry about, you know, the nitty-gritty of actual holiness and righteousness and set-apartness and going through the trials and tribulations. And we don't hear anymore, Aaliyah, on the pulpits, suffering being preached. We don't hear anymore from the pulpits the fact that you're going to have to go through some hard times in your life. And like you said, sometimes in your life, things will not always turn out in the way that you wanted. Mm-hmm. As a believer, we are not promised by the Father or from Yeshua himself that just because you get saved, your situation is miraculously going to change. If we are a sinner and we have been saved by the grace of Messiah Yeshua, there are still consequences to our actions. And that's, I think, what a lot of people don't understand. In life, there are consequences for our actions. And as a believer, it doesn't mean, like you said, Aaliyah, that all of a sudden you change and everything gets better. Things actually get tough. Things get hard. And in a couple of coffee breaks before, you know, we spoke about the Levites that carried the weight of Yahweh's presence upon their shoulders. And I've always thought of it like this, that things don't get easier, they actually get heavier. They get heavier as we continue walking with the Father, because the weight of the presence, or the weight of the awareness of Yahweh, becomes more profound in our lives. And we start to realize how important it is. So things get heavy. And that's why the endurance is given to us. Yeshua gives us the strength to endure, but he also gives us the power to overcome if we remain in him. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes we remain in other things. We remain in religion. We remain in our studies. There's nothing wrong in doing those things. We need to study Yahweh's word. But we need to remain in Yeshua, because only when we remain in him are we then able to overcome. I believe that great cloud of witnesses, if you look at their lives, you know, we look at the life of Noah, the life of Abraham. They were men, and the life of Deborah and those kind of people who stayed the course despite the generation that they were in. They stayed the course. And Moshe, he tells the people not to go back. Over and over, not to return back to the way that it was. And it speaks to us again, you know, of endurance. And I like that word endurance, because I think endurance and perseverance go hand in hand. We need to persevere, and we need to endure. And it's also a character thing. I think it's got to do a lot with our characters.
And I think that perseverance also has to do with how you're brought up in life. Because oftentimes, as parents, and you and I are not physical parents, but I know that as parents, you can try and ease your child's pain and almost teach them sometimes not to take responsibility for their actions or not to endure through something, because we have a natural ability to want to safeguard our young and we want to safeguard our children. Obviously, not putting them in harmful situations, but sometimes, you know, as my parents did with me, that there were things that I had to learn through. And through that, I became quite independent at quite a young age, which was good for me. And I could take responsibility for my actions. So I didn't look to anybody else to figure it out. And I think that as parents, we have that. We have that responsibility to teach our children to endure. And we live in a society today where it's all about taking away pain. And truthfully, parents are not parenting their children correctly. And parents just allow their kids to do anything. And when the going gets tough, and when it does get tough, and come on, the world is a tough place. It's a hard place. When they really get out in the world, they can't handle it because we have become all like soft and tried to be cotton wool around our kids. And I think that on a very psychological and emotional level, we as people have a responsibility to help. And then this comes back down to the body of Messiah, that we as the body, we shouldn't be hard with one another. We should be there for one another when we are going through hard times, or when we're going through times where we have to endure. And you know, Yusuf, I was thinking about what you said about how, and I want to just phrase it in another way, I believe that people have lost their vulnerability, especially in the body. No one wants to stand up and say, this is what I'm going through. And I know why that is, and I understand it very well. And I understand that the body of Messiah isn't always a safe place. You know, people judge you and people say ugly things. That is why it's so important to find a loving connection of believers, and we have to be there for one another. And I recently had somebody say to me that they really are struggling because they've been going through a lot of things, and what they're going through is very, very hard and very, very intense. And I totally understand their struggle. And they said, well, I just don't seem to be facing it in the same way that other people are. I'm not able to hold on to Yeshua in this way that everyone else is through their suffering. And I come to see and realizing that's one way of seeing it, but it's only been seen like that because we are all not actually being real. I think that I can't speak for everybody, but I know that in times when it's really hard, yes, you hold on to Yeshua, but your grip starts to get loose because you hold on so tight. And I'm talking about the intense things in life. I'm not just talking about tiny little bumps. We're talking about people that come out of abuse, or people that have been rejected by their family, or people that have been hurt or lost incredible amounts of loss, or women like I've known that have lost their husband suddenly and are destitute and have nothing. And they're like in their 50s, 60s, and they have absolutely nothing. They don't have children. There's no one to take care of them. Your life is suddenly very, very different. And your everything has changed. And to loosen, to be real and say, I'm not able to do this. That is where you and I come in, Yusuf. And I'm not talking about you and I, but I'm talking about us as the body. Then that's when we're supposed to be Yeshua. That's when we're supposed to say, you know what, it's okay, because we're going to be here with you and we're going to get through this together. And that's the part that we're supposed to play. You know, you were talking about that it is this, that's not a 100-meter dash. I think it's also a relay sometimes, because I've got a baton and maybe I can only run 50 meters because I'm not strong enough. And so then I can pass it on to you and I can say, Yusuf, will you help me? Because maybe you're strong. You know, haven't been through the same pains or the same hardships that I have been through. And so I'm taking strain, and that's okay. So you come alongside me and you say, you know what, it's cool. I can probably do 200 meters. So you only do 50, and then you just pass me the baton, and I'm going to take it further for you. We should never be Job's friends. Job's friends condemned him, and Yahweh said that they were wrong, and that Job at the end offered a sacrifice on their behalf for their forgiveness, because no one actually came. They came to sit next to Job in his suffering, which was really great of them, but they came to tell him that he was wrong, that he was a sinner. How many times have you heard that when you go through something hard? Or that, you know, Job, there must have been something you did, or maybe Yahweh doesn't like you, or, you know, you're self-righteous, you're filled with pride, you this. They gave him all the wrong things, and he was like, guys, this is not what's happening. I don't know what's happening. And at the end of it, we should be able to carry that baton together and do the relay. And then, you know, we shouldn't just see, that's the problem with our Western societies and our first world thinking, to be honest with you. We see this as an individual race. Yes, when we all stand before Yeshua, I will have to account for my actions. You will have to account for yours. And yes, that is individual. But our race is with one another. We need to race with each other, and we need to race alongside each other, because Hebrew culture, Eastern culture, even today, African culture was always about tribes, was always about families, was always about one another. And, you know, just this week, I heard a story of someone saying how they grew up incredibly poor in an informal settlement, and they didn't have clothes, and they didn't have a toilet and they didn't have all these things. And the person said, well, how did you get through that? That must have been very hard for you. And they said, well, we had one another. You see, I had my mom and I had my granny and I had my brothers. And they said, because we had one another, we didn't see what we didn't have. And that really stayed with me because I realized that because there was the family and because they had each other and they spoke and they were together, they didn't realize what they didn't have. And I think that when we're on our own, think about our modern societies, our first world way of living, we never have enough. Mm-hmm. But why? Because we're always so alone. Because we're always about me, my promotion, my this, my this, my this. We don't have us anymore. And yet we are so lonely, and yet we don't actually even have enough.
You know, Leah, I want to go back to what you said about the race not being just an individual race, that it is like a relay. And, you know, it's exactly like that, because that scripture that Paul was speaking in Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:7, he's talking to Timothy and he's saying to Timothy, hey, you know what, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now it's kind of like a passing of the baton that he's doing. He's saying to Timothy, just as I've done these things, now you need to go and do these things. It's about discipleship. It's about mentorship. It's about doing the works that Yeshua did. And that's why Yeshua came, he ran his race. And by running his race, he left a legacy behind. He left a sign that pointed right back to the Father. And his whole life was pointing to the Father. And his disciples then could take that baton and run the race for their journey and for their generation with that fire and that flame inside of them. That's why it's so important that we remember what the writer of Hebrews is saying. Like you said, he's saying we have this great cloud of witnesses. He's not just saying it as a thing of like, oh, you know what, these guys went before, this is what happened, they were killed. No, he's saying we have this great cloud of witnesses as a testimony for those running the relay now. And that's what's important about this race. It's not a 100-meter dash, like we said. It's a marathon, but it's a marathon where we must run together. And where one of us might receive the prize early in life and another might receive the prize a little bit later, depending on what the Father's will and his plan is for your life.
Mm.
But that doesn't mean that because one, you know, like those witnesses that went before, that they receive anything different. The truth of the matter is that in the book of Revelation, it says, he who endures these things, he who overcomes, he who runs this race and does these things, he will receive, she will receive a crown. We all receive the same prize, which is our inheritance of Messiah Yeshua, our inheritance and our crowns. But it doesn't matter where we end, or in the sense of, you know, some have gone before, others are still coming. And that's why in the book of Revelation, it talks about, you know, those that will be killed for their faith. And then they look down and they say, you know, when are you going to avenge the blood of those that have been killed? And he says, wait for a little bit until the fullness of those people have come in. That's what we need to understand, that there is going to be a time of great suffering and a time of great endurance. But some have gone before us as a witness to us, to tell us, hey, you know what, if we could do it, then you can do it. And I think, you know, Aaliyah, that we are living now in a time where the message is changing and where we're going to see, you know, the Acts of the Apostles, like I said, going forth again. But it's going to cost us something, and it's going to cause us to have to rely 150% in the Father and not in our own efforts, not in our own pride, in our own thoughts, our own, you know, religiousness that we so often think that we're okay with. Sometimes we kind of put ourselves in a cushion that kind of, you know, if we bump to the right or bump to the left, it's almost like a, you know, those babies, you get babies, little chair things that they sit in and then they run around and it's got like a bumper car around it. And I think sometimes we put ourselves in those things and we're running, but we got this, like, you know, this extra security around us. So if we bump left or right, we're okay. And Yahweh is saying, hey, it's time now for you to get out of the training wheels. It's time for you to get out of that little thing that you're in and begin to stand on your own two feet and run this race so that you can be the people that I want you to be. And I think, Aaliyah, that's the whole message, you know, of this week's Torah portion too, where Moshe is talking and he's telling the people, it's now time for you to enter into the land. they have to endure now. They have to take what they've learned, all the trials, all the tribulations, all the stops that they've gone through, all the hardships that they've gone through, and they actually need to go in and possess the land.
Mm. I mean, this is such an awesome conversation that we're having, Yusuf, but I really, really want us to go to a song. And this song is called Spirit Lead Me by Influence Music. It just came out last month, and we just heard it this week, and the song is so amazing. I really pray that it will bless you. And when we come back, we will continue our conversation.
This is my worship, this is my offering. In every moment, I withhold nothing. I'm learning to trust you, even when I can't see it. And even in suffering, I have to believe it. If you say it's wrong, then I'll say no. If you say release, I'm letting go. If you're in it with me, I'll begin. And when you say to jump, I'm diving in. If you say be still, then I will wait. If you say to trust, I will. Felt like a burden, but once I could grasp it, you took me further, further than I was asking. And simply to see you, it's worth it all. My life is an altar, let your fire fall. I'm letting go. If you're in it with me, I
say to jump, I'm diving in. If you say be still, then I will wait. If you say to trust, I will obey. You're the only truth, the life, the way. I'm done chasing feeling.
Song. Welcome back to the coffee break. And this evening we're talking about endurance. And you know, I was thinking this week when the Father was speaking to me about this, you know, when we talk about endurance, I think sometimes it can sound very like you must endure and you must get through this and you can't give up and you can't, you know, have hard days and you can't have bad times. And that's definitely not what endurance is about. Endurance is about that encouragement. It's more of an encouragement to say, you know, it is going to be hard. And sometimes it is going to be hard and sometimes we won't know. And sometimes we are going to go through the hard things. But what sticks out for me is endure, because yeah, we can redeem this. And yeah, we can use this. And I think that that was something when I wrote my first book, You Heard It. It was something that really stood out to me, because when I read the story of You Heard It in the Apocrypha, I really realized that she was very young too. She was about probably maybe even 17 when she lost her husband, and her life was catapulted in a very different direction. And in writing the book, I also had to learn a lot about loss and thinking about loss, and I wrote it through a time of loss in my own life, and that was loss of my health. And so dealing with that, and I think even Yosef, I think of Ruth. I've been reading about Ruth, and it's her story is always being kind of like, it's an anti story. I don't know. I've never really connected with it, because she always seemed like this just character doing, I don't know what she's doing half the time, and she sleeps by this dude's feet, and makes me feel uncomfortable. And so, but I realized when I was reading Ruth again, I was just focusing on basically chapter one and the verses right in the beginning. And it's actually a story about loss. Mm. And because it says that Naomi and her husband, they moved they move away from Bethlehem because of this great famine that's in the land. So it's basically, it's probably during the time of Gideon, when Gideon was the judge, and there's a time of great famine in the land, and they move and they're kind of these outsiders in a foreign place. And then her sons marry these women, Moabite women, and then her husband died, her sons die, and all three of these women are widows, and they're left with this incredible loss. And another person that really, Yahweh was speaking to me about this week was Joseph. And we know Joseph's story so well that we sometimes can approach it with this thing of like, well, I know the story, I enjoy the story, I love the story. But every time that we approach the scripture and Yahweh wants to speak to us, we can actually approach it as though we've never heard the story before. And I was really led to read about Joseph this week, and it was though I was watching it as a film. Mm-hmm. I actually really just approached it just with no preconceived idea, and the Father was just speaking to me through his life again. And, you know, Joseph was thrown into so many different pits and so many different places. And we know that obviously, you know, right at the beginning, his brothers hate him so much that they just, you know, throw him into this cistern. And thankfully, you know, Yahweh is with him, because the cistern is obviously, it's dry, so there's no water in it, thankfully, otherwise Joseph would have drowned. But it must have been quite hectic, and I think we just read the story really quickly, but Joseph's thrown into this cistern, and then they sit down to eat, you know, and they're eating. So he must have been in there quite a while, thinking like, hey, shouting at them, and being like, let me out, guys, what's going on, and why am I in here? And they must have heard him, and just being like, whatever, I'm just going to eat. Mm-hmm. And then they see these traders come and they sell him, which is like really intense. The hatred was really intense. And then, you know, then Joseph, he obviously gets sold as a slave. And we don't realize that Joseph actually walked a 30-day journey through the desert to get from where he was at that point to into Egypt, into the center of where he's going. And he must have been treated like merchandise and must have been treated like a slave. He must have been treated pretty bad. And although they would have kind of looked after him a bit and fed him, because they wanted him to look good and healthy when That's they right. were going to sell him, because then they would get more money for him. But then, you know, he goes to Potiphar's wife and Potiphar's house, and then Potiphar's wife does this horrible stuff. You know, that's where sexual abuse against men happens. It's true. But then Joseph gets thrown into another pit,
That's right.
you know, and he gets thrown into another prison. And, you know, the thing that really struck me this week while I was reading about all these pits that Joseph, out of no mistake or reason of his own, just gets thrown into all these bad places, is that it continually says in the scripture, and I'm not going to read because it's Joseph's story is so long after so many chapters, but it continually says that Yahweh was with him and Yahweh showed him kindness. Mm. Two things. Every time that Joseph is in a bad place, it says Yahweh was with him and Yahweh showed him kindness. And that really, really ministered to me this week, because life can resemble many different kinds of pits and many different kinds of things. And there's a lot that doesn't make sense in life, because even this, with this whole cupbearer thing, you know, the cupbearer and the baker go and they with Joseph in the prison, and we know that they have these dreams and Joseph interprets them and says to the cupbearer that, you know, once you are restored to Pharaoh, because that's what your dream says, you're going to be restored. Once you are restored, don't forget about me, hey? Tell Pharaoh about me. Tell Pharaoh that I'm innocent and that I'm here. And the cupbearer is all like happy because he's got a happy report. So he goes away and he forgets about Joseph. And it says that was 2 years.
Sorry.
And Yahweh, you know what? When I was reading this, I realized that Yahweh is like God, right? So he could have like planted the seed in the cupbearer's mind on the second day after the cupbearer was released.
Brought to his remembrance.
Yeah, brought to his remembrance, and was like, remember Joseph.
He could have spoken it out. Remember Joseph.
Yeah, exactly. But he didn't. And so 2 years pass. And then, you know, Pharaoh has this dream, and the dream is given by Yahweh, because Joseph says that it was Yahweh himself that gave Pharaoh a prophetic dream about the richness and then the famine that would come. And then it was time for Joseph. And I realized there, and again, you know, there's parts of Joseph's destiny that are sticking out in every pit that he falls into. Because even when he's in prison, you know, it says that the captain Joseph gets favor in his eyes. And then he becomes head over the other prisoners and he's looking after them. So it was ultimately that Joseph was going to become head there over Egypt and would have to be fulfilling that role on a greater scale. So I believe that even through, you know, Joseph's life to me speaks so much about endurance.
That's right.
Because Joseph doesn't falter in his integrity. And so even in the midst of the Bible, where we're reading Joseph's story, we have this odd insertion chapter about Judah and Tamar, where, you know, Judah is supposed to give his children, his son to Tamar, and he doesn't, and there's this whole thing that happens. And what that's actually showing us in the Bible is that it's contrasting the actions of Judah at this point with Joseph. Joseph doesn't falter, Joseph doesn't you know, get involved with Potiphar's wife. He doesn't do these bad things, even though he could have become immoral because of where he was living, and he could have allowed the society to dictate him, but he doesn't. And he does these righteous things. And he also always says, Yahweh is going to give the interpretation. Every time he has to speak about a dream, he says, doesn't interpretations belong to Yahweh? So he continually finds a way also to bring Yahweh into everything that he's doing. And that really speaks to me, because sometimes, you know, Joseph is in a really crazy place. I mean, Egypt was insane back in the day. All the different gods and the way they worshipped and the immoral lifestyles they lived. And he's standing for something completely different. And so while he's doing that, there is that endurance of, I won't forget who I am, number one. And number two, I won't forget where I came from. And number three, I'm not going to forget the God of my father. I'm not going to forget Yahweh. And I'm going to do what he's calling me to do, even though this doesn't make sense. And I think that it's just, I just want to say that sometimes in life, things really don't make sense. And I really don't know why Yahweh didn't whisper to that cupbearer earlier. But there was obviously a reason why. And we always try and answer the questions. You know, I hear a lot of people, they say, you know, God's got this, or just trust God or whatever. Say that to someone that's really broken and hurting, and you'll make me angry. But besides that, you can't tell someone that's broken and hurting in a bad place, just trust God, or you're a sinner, you don't have faith or whatever, because you haven't walked a mile in their pain or in their wound. And so Joseph, I think, what must have been confused at times, and must have been like, what's going on? Yahweh like gave me this dream when I was like 16, 17 years old, that my family would bow down to me. He must have actually thought many times that that was just a mock, like that definitely wasn't going to be. But it did happen. And the reality was that what Yahweh actually showed Joseph in the dream at the beginning was actually a very good thing. It wasn't about his family bowing down to him. It was about exactly what he says at the end, that Yahweh sent me here before you so that, you know, a remnant could be saved, so that I could save lives. And that was how it was. So I just really see that Joseph just speaks to us about endurance. And that we've got to run the race with endurance to win the prize. And my prayer for all of us, Yosef, when we encounter our pits and when we encounter these hard times, is that Yahweh will be with us, and that Yahweh will show us kindness. And that at the end, when we become the head of Egypt, like, you know, Joseph did, that we will be able to know that it was because of what we went through that got us to that point. And my prayer is that everything that we are going through, or maybe that you know someone else is going through, be it in their marriage, be it in their with their kids, be it in wherever it may be, my prayer really is that it will turn out for a great destiny, and that it will turn out for a great saving of lives, and the saving of your life, or saving of that person's life, that it will turn around. And I really pray that Yahweh will give us the endurance that Joseph had, you know. And even if we find ourselves in a prison cell, that we would still be able to endure, as so many people are enduring today for believing in Jesus, like they say. And many Christian people around the world are in a prison cell for their faith. And I pray for their endurance, and I pray for our endurance, that we will be able to make it through everything that Yahweh has destined for us to make it through.
You know, Leah, I think this evening what we've been speaking about really hits home, because so often, like we have said before, we want to cover things up. We want to, you know, put the sheet in front and not let anybody really know the truth. But the truth of the matter is, I feel that many of us as believers, we go through what Joseph is going through. And oftentimes we don't always face, you know, our struggles, or face our trials as he did. You know, sometimes we falter and sometimes we fall. And it's okay. You know, it's okay when those things happen, but we need to get back up. You know, Joseph, he doesn't turn his back on Yahweh. He doesn't get into a place where he feels, you know, obviously, like you said, his humanity was there. And we've got to be realistic and say to ourselves, you know, how would we feel in that situation? Mm. You know, I remember there was a time where I was in the rehab, and at that time I got taken to court because of cases that I had. And at that time, by Yahweh's grace, my faith in Yahweh was strong. It was stronger than probably how, you know, sometimes how it was before, and probably maybe at its strongest point that I can remember. And at that time, I had to go back and face the magistrate. But if I hadn't had my intimacy with the Father, I probably would have cracked. I probably would have been, you know, in a place where I would have thought, well, this is the end of it. And I'll be honest with you, you know, even though I was strong in my faith, there was a time where I sat in the cell, and I was meant to go through, you know, to the court by 9 o'clock that morning on the Monday morning, and 10 o'clock came, and I was still sitting in the cell. 11 o'clock came, and I was still sitting in the cell, and I was thinking to myself, but I'm supposed to be in court, but they haven't called my name, and I sat there questioning everything that Yahweh had said to me. Is this now the truth? Because He told me, He said, "Don't worry, everything's going to be okay," and I knew that in my heart, but doubt began to fall in my head. Mm-hmm. And we got to think about that sometimes. That, you know, we go through things in our lives, and doubt can creep in. But how do we deal with doubt? How do we deal with the enemy? Even, you know, when the enemy comes in against us and says to us, "Hey, you know what? You haven't done a lot lately for Yahweh," or "Hey, you know what? You haven't really heard from Yahweh a lot lately," or He turns around and says something to you like, "Hey, you know what? Yahweh doesn't love you anymore. He's not even talking to you. You know, this trial that you're going through, like with Job, I mean, you know, Yahweh's just left you, man. He's not even around." How do we deal with those times where we hit doubt, where we hit, you know, this bump in our lives? And how do we deal with it? And I think that Joseph, in all that he did, he never turned against Yahweh. He never, you know, got angry with Yahweh. He never turned around and said, "Hey, you know what? I didn't do anything, Yahweh, here with Potiphar's wife. Why have you allowed this to happen to me?" You know, he endured. He endured through all of it, even though in his flesh he was probably crying out saying, "I don't understand these things." But in his spirit, and in his spirit man, he endured it. And I feel that that's what it's about. And that's why Yahweh says to us, Aaliyah, that this is not a 100-meter sprint. It is not a race that we run quickly. It's a marathon. We're running a marathon. Why? Because the marathon of life produces in us the character that is needed for the nations. It is the character that is going to be needed, brothers and sisters, in the days to come. It's the character that Yahweh instills in us that will make us ready to be able to be a witness, like Elias said, to the brokenhearted, to the one that is paining, to the heroin addict and the prostitute sitting on the side of the road. And we'll be able to go and say to them, "Hey, you know what? I understand where you're at." Instead of turning around and saying, "Hey, you know what? You've got to repent of your sins, brother. You've got to change your ways." You know, a drug addict doesn't want to hear that. A drug addict wants to hear that you have a solution to their problem. They want to know that there is hope. They want to know that they can get off the stuff. Just the same as a prostitute, just the same as a person that's just lost their mother, their father. You know, we can't be people who go with the wrong attitude. And we can only share from the places where we have endured through. Because people are not blind anymore, brothers and sisters. They are no longer, you know, people who are like, "Oh, okay, you know, that brother helped me." They see straight through you. They see straight through the fake today. You know, people who are hurting and are in pain, who are looking for salvation, who are looking for a way out, they see straight through us when we are fake. And that's why when we go through these things in our lives, when we lose a loved one, when we struggle, when we don't have finances, when we feel like Yahweh's left us, and we endure through those things, it produces in us a fountain that is able to help others. And I'm not saying every situation is like that, but many times the things that we go through in our life can be used and turned around for the glory and for the good of Yahweh, so that others may benefit from it. And maybe tonight I'm speaking to myself, firstly, before I'm even speaking to the rest of you. Maybe I'm speaking to myself tonight. And my prayer is that you that are listening, that you will listen carefully to the words that are written in the book of Hebrews that says to us so clearly that we are to remove, that we are to do away with everything that hinders us. And that's not just sin. You know, it says the sins and the things that hinder us, but it's everything else, anything that threatens our relationship with Yahweh, whether it be your fears, your doubts, your family, your friends, your burdens, whatever it might be that hinders you from the relationship with the Father. We need to get rid of those things that slow us down and allow Him to take us and shape us. And you know, Paul says, he says this, that we are to put off our old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind. And that attitude of our mind is not only the renewing of your mind so that we don't think about sinful things. It's also the renewing of your mind to think of the goodness of Yahweh so that we don't fall into the lies and the trap of the enemy that says, hey, you know what? Yahweh's left you, brother. Hey, you know what? Yahweh doesn't care about you anymore. We need to put ourselves into the place where the renewing of our mind renews our minds into the goodness and the things that Yahweh has done in our lives in times past. That's what he's also talking about. Renew your attitude of your mind and think about the good things. And that's something that I think maybe caused Joseph to be able to endure. He had the renewing of his mind and he remembered that, hey, you know what, when I stood up and I went to my father and I told my dad about this dream that I had, that dream, if you think about it, it must have been the dream, the knowledge of knowing that the father had a greater purpose for his life. He never knew how that purpose was going to unfold. He never knew the ditches he was going to go through. He never knew the prison that he was going to endure. He never even knew what was going to happen with Potiphar's wife and all the other things in his life. All that he had was a dream that he received from the Father, a vision. And brothers and sisters, like I said, preaching to my own self this evening, but the truth is, the vision must not die. When the vision dies, that's when we are no longer connected. We must remember that he who doesn't have a vision, the lack of a vision, causes us to perish. So let us remain and let us continue to hold tight to the things that the Father has given us, even if we don't understand how it's going to play out. Just remember that time that Yahweh broke through the darkness in your life and he revealed to you a little bit, even if it's just a little bit of who you are to become. That's what I believe Joseph held on to. And because he held on to that, the revelation of who he was to become, it saw him through. So let us remember that and let that cause us to continue to walk in the likeness of Elohim and in the righteousness and in the holiness that he wants us to be in. Then I believe that he will create in us a new heart and renew a right spirit. Amen.
Amen. You know, I think also with Joseph, I think just when you were talking, I also was thinking about Cinderella, the Cinderella movie that just came out, and how it's a cute movie. It's a really cute movie. But at the end, when she's up in that attic and they're trying on all the shoes and she obviously can't get out, whatever it says, the narrator says that she allowed because of the memories and the good things she had as a child and in her childhood, that she was okay. She allowed, it wasn't going to be that the present hurt and pain was going to dictate that everything was bad or had been bad, but it was the goldenness of her childhood. And I think that Joseph really knew that he was loved by his father. He really knew it because, remember, Jacob made him a beautiful special coat that he wore. And it said, and because he wore that coat, he knew that his father loved him. And maybe his father spent a lot of time with him. And that's why the brothers didn't like him. And I think that it, on a deeper level, it speaks about the fact that exactly that. I think that when it's that which challenges our faith, and we spoke about it on the coffee break last time, do we believe that Yahweh is always good? And it's that challenging of the faith in the hard times, going through it, do we believe that we are loved by a father who has actually placed a special kind of coat on us and say that that's my beloved child, and that I'm not going to let that child die in the prison. I'm not going to let that child die in the pit, and I really do have a destiny. So do we really, in those moments of, or seasons, or it could even be years of going through that trial, do we still have the memory in us that we are beloved and that we are loved and that we have a father who has said in his word in Isaiah 43 that I've called you by name. You are mine. So when you walk through the waters, you will not drown. When you go through the fire, you will not be burned because I am with you. And I have given people in exchange for your life. I have given many people in exchange for you. And Yeshua did that for us. He gave everything to exchange, that divine exchange, so that we could be called by the Father's name and know that we are loved. And do we wear that coat? I just sometimes wonder, you know, And Joseph had that coat stripped from him when his brothers threw him into the pit. And I believe because that's what the devil does, doesn't he?
Identity.
He tries to strip our identity. Mm. He tries to strip away the knowledge that we are loved.
Amen.
The knowledge that I'm going to take this coat from you, because that's what they took from him, and they dipped it in the animal's blood and they showed it to their father. It was like, Joseph's dead. And they took that beloved status away from him. And I think that that's how it is when we're going to go through the hard times. The devil comes to first strip that away from us, to say, you aren't loved. Mm. You aren't cared for. Your father doesn't love you. He's like, exactly like you say, he's not even talking to you.
Exactly.
Why are you even enduring? Why are you even praying? He doesn't care.
Mm.
And it's the fighting against our hearts and our souls and our minds that happens and can be so tough. And again, that's why we have to endure and persevere with the knowledge that though we may not wear the coat right now, we still actually wear the coat. It's not about the physical coat, but it's about the reality of what that actually meant. My father made the coat for me because I'm loved. So though they take the coat, he still loves me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still his favorite child. And so this evening, we want to say thank you so much for joining us. We really, really are ministering to ourselves tonight as well as to all of you. So we just want to end off this evening with a new song from Lauren Daigle. It's from her brand new album, and it's called You Say. And when we come back, we want to close off in prayer together. So enjoy the song.
So if you have any prayer requests this evening, please post them now. And we're praying that there are prayer requests. You know, let's be real this evening. Let's not just put, oh, let's pray for so-and-so. What about yourself? What about your own life? What about the place where you're finding yourself in now? You know, so often we want to put prayer requests down for our family and friends, but when we actually need the prayer. So this is a safe environment where you can place your prayer requests. And I urge you to do that as we listen to the song.
Voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure love. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. I'm yours. You'll have every failure, God. You'll have every victory.
Song is just so for me. I don't know how to get through that song without crying. It's such an amazing song, and I just think that on so many levels, I think that it just speaks so powerfully. But this evening, I just want to just offer up this time and this space just for us to pray together, and to know that there are some very real battles that many of us are facing and that many of us are going through, myself included. And if you hear my cats in the background, just ignore them, because our kittens have got in again. But there's some very real battles that we all have to face in this life. And so I just, this evening, as we just still our hearts just to pray for each other and in this time, I just want to lift up a prayer request that is anonymous, but that I just really want to lift up this individual. So, Abba Father, I just really pray this evening, as you know our hearts, Father, you know exactly what we are going through. When we don't feel like we are enough, Father, even as that song says, that Father, even when we are weak, Father, we know that you say that we are enough, Father, and that we have so much worth and that you love us. And this evening, Father, I just want to just take that coat that you gave Joseph and that his father gave him of love. And Father, I want to take that coat from you tonight. And I want to just wrap it over our sister who is sent in a prayer request, and just wrap in that coat to say that she is beloved by you, Father, and that you know that she is a special child, Father, and favored and honored in your sight, and a beloved child, a beloved daughter, and that you're wrapping her in that coat. And this evening we want to come, we want to wrap her in that coat this evening, to know that her status is loved, her status is worth, her status is value and honor above all things. And that, Father, I pray tonight that you will help us see yourself, Father, as you see her, but also as we see her, Father, as someone that is incredibly special, but also someone that's incredibly powerful in your kingdom. And Father, someone that you have called for a huge, huge task, Father, in your kingdom as a warrior, as a mighty, mighty woman of Yeshua. And Father, I pray that that her vision will be expanded, Father, to see herself exactly as you see her, Father. And I pray that the limited vision that the enemy has tried to place upon her through situations or relationships or people or anything, Father, through this life, Father, that it will be blown up literally, Father, that it will just explode, and that, Father, you would do a mighty work in her heart and in her life. I just pray for restoration for every single thing in her life and in her heart that needs that restoration, that renewal, that revival, Father. And I pray and proclaim this evening a blessing of joy and peace into her heart, but that blessing that says that you are more than enough for every single thing. And I pray that blessing in her heart and in her life, and that blessing to know that she is a beloved child and chosen and loved and accepted in you, and that you love her so much, Father, and that you want to hold her close to your chest just like a baby, Father, just as we hold our physical children to us when they need love and comfort, to know that they belong and are loved by us, Father. I pray and know and sense in my heart this evening that you want to hold her on your chest this evening and say that you are loved and you are mine, and that you're my child, and I'm your father and I'm your parent, and I'm never ever going to leave you, and I'm always going to be here, and it's going to be okay, and that I'm walking right beside you, and then I have your hand, And I'm never, ever, ever going to leave you or abandon you like a bad parent. But I'm a good, good father. And I'm good. And I'm never, ever going to leave you. And you can just rest upon me because I love you. And I cherish you. And I've chosen you. And I've called you. And I created you. And I knit you together in your mother's womb. And I just gave you everything that you needed for this life because I had a special plan for your life. And I had a special task that I wanted you to fulfill. But most importantly, I had a plan just so that you can walk with me on this earth because I love you, because I want to be loved by you. So I pray that Father, you would just pour your love and your goodness into her heart this evening, and that you would bless her, Yeshua, in your mighty, mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Father, this evening we want to thank you so much for every person that has joined us. And Father, as we look out at these other prayer requests, Father, we want to lift up Sister Grace to you, and we want to thank you, Father, that you who started the good work, Father, in her is faithful and just to bring it to completion. And Father, as she says, Yahweh, as she walks through the storm, Father, we thank you that, Yahweh, you are the one that takes us through every hurricane. Father, you take us through every storm. And Father, when the disciples were sitting in the boat, Father, and trembling because of the storm that was raging around them, you came walking on the water and you told them, do not fear, but be at peace. And Father, I want to pray over her life. I want to pray over her family's life. I want to pray over those children, over her husband, Father, that there will be true shalom in their lives, Father. I also want to pray that, as she says, Father, that there will be a great reunion with her mother, and Father, that her mother will see the glory of Yahweh upon her daughter's face and be alarmed, Father, be knowing, Father, and knowledgeable, Father, to know that this child has carrying and is carrying, Father, the presence of the King. And Father, that she will see that there has come a great change in her daughter's life, and that this will cause conversation, that this will cause, Father, her mother to ask more questions, Father, and to just see a different person, Father. And as she says, Yahweh, that there will be healing of her mother's heart in the name of Yeshua. Father, I want to thank you this evening too, Father, for our sister Marilise, and we want to lift her up to you, Father, and ask tonight, Yahweh, that you will continue, Father, to shape her, to mold her. Father, we thank you, Yahweh, that even though we don't always know, Father, where we are going or the things that we go through, that you give us the tools and you give us the ability to overcome. So Father, I want to pray, Yahweh, that, as she said, Father, that you will help her and that you will give her encouragement, Father, through this time and through this battle. And Father, that we as a community will get behind these prayer requests, Father, and pray for these people. Father, in our quiet times, in the times where we sit down and pray, that we will always remember the names and the prayers, Father, that have been put down in front of us, and pray for one another. I pray, Father, that you will continue to bless Christian too, Father, and I thank you for his life. I thank you for him and his wife and his children. I pray, Father, as he said, yeah, Father, give us, Father, and give him the ability to endure the battles. Father, we all face battles every single day. Father, whether it be battles of our flesh, whether it be battles of our mind, Father, whether it be battles of other people around us, Father, whatever it might be, I pray, Father, that we will seek the Spirit of Yahweh in our lives, the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, all the goodness of Yahweh. And Father, that we will endure the battles every single day. And Father, we thank you that when we do that, that Father, these battle scars, Father, is what helps us to overcome the next one and the next one and the next one. And I pray for him, Father. I pray for him and his wife, Father, and their marriage and their children, that you will bless them. And we thank you, Father. As Davi said, Father, may we become those who sing the song of the overcomers. Father, that is what you want us to do. Father, you want us to be overcomers. So I pray for that. I pray, Father, that out of this group, that there will be a true, true remnant people, Father, who overcome in Yeshua's name. And we thank you for this time, and we pray, Father, that this week ahead, for every single one of us, Father, will be lit with the glory and the knowledge of the one who has redeemed us. And we thank you for that. We bless you, Abba Father, and we thank you in Yeshua Mashiach's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much to each and every single one of you for joining us. We pray such a blessing of Yeshua over you this new week. Please continue to lift one another up. Continue to lift us up, as every single one of us, we know that we are waging the battles, but also that some of us are in the front lines, and sometimes we have to take very hard hits and very hard punches, and we just know that Abba Father is with us. So we just want to pray a blessing over you all. Have a great week. May this month truly be the month of Abba Father. May it be the month of Av, the month of the comfort of our King of Kings, and that he just draws so close to us as Abba Father, and as the one who nurtures us with so much love and joy. So bless you all. Shavua Tov. Until next week, we're going to play out with Chris McClunny, And it's a song called I'm Listening. May this be our prayer. So shalom, shalom, and see you next time.
Shalom, everybody.
When you speak, confusion fades. Just a word, and suddenly I'm not afraid. 'Cause you speak, and freedom reigns. There is hope, and every single word you say. So quiet my heart, I'm listening.